Religion, salvation.
I've seen recently a bit of a service people was having, and it was one of the big mega church services, and I noticed that there's a real move, and I've heard some comments on this, that there's a real move out there in the so-called Christian world,
right,
about the services that they're having in the praise and worship service.
Yeah.
And I want to say, starting off, I'm all for praise,
yes,
praising God,
yes,
and worshiping God, yes, and being excited about it,
yes,
and fervent about it. I'm for all of those things. And I take the line also of where the Apostle Paul even said that some people preach Christ in pretense, and some in sincerity, but if Christ is preached, I'm for all of it. I'm for praise the Lord sign, bumper stickers, license plates. I don't find anything wrong with putting that we would never forget, or that somebody might even see it and ask the question, who's this, or what's this about?
Yeah.
I'm for all of it. If some people mean to do it in a bad way, I still say, let it be done. Let it be done, and said. But these particular services was all geared towards this exciting, this push, this motion and movement that everybody feels really good about, and they come in and do that. And listen, as long as there's a holiness and as long as it's proved of God, I would never think anything about it. But the problem of it is that it's religious, but it really brings the question about the salvation of it. Because salvation will change you.
That's right.
There is some dynamics about religion.
Yeah.
And there's some dynamics about salvation.
That's right.
Salvation, in a sense, is religious. It fits under the category of religion.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the dynamics of salvation isn't always captured in religion.
That's right.
You can be religious, very religious. You can be very religious.
Right. Yeah.
And not have salvation.
Yeah.
So today, I want to explore the idea to make sure that we're not falling into a form or falling into a place that will remain religious, but we don't have salvation. We want to have salvation and everything that it brings in the religious realm. That has to do with a personal relationship with Christ. As the brother preached the other night about the blind man. The blind man got something from the Lord that nobody could take from him.
That's right.
He got an experience to where he could say, I was blind and now I see. And I will say, for the rest of his life, nobody could convince him that he wasn't born blind. That was his experience. You might not believe that he was born blind. Or the neighbors might, others may not believe that he was born blind. Or they may believe that he don't see. But this man would never lose this experience and this testimony that he had. I was blind and now I see. Now I'm going to tell you, that defeats the gainsayers. It defeats the devil. It defeats the spirit. It defeats everything to have it for yourself. I was blind and now I see. And we need to have an experience that the devil can't take from us. The world can't take from us. Nobody can take from us. If it comes down to I have to give my life for this thing, I want something that I can say this is positively true. I know this is right. Because I got it for myself. I came up under Brother Mark Sammons. He was a man of God. If you knew him, he was a man of God and all that. Brother Sammons' experience won't carry over to Marty. He simply encouraged and gave his experience, and I need to have an experience like that. Brother Sammons had a way about him, and he come up to our house different times when we had needs, and he could come up there, And he could come right in, and there was almost something that came in. You could feel something. There was something special. He'd come in, and I remember the times that he said he'd come in, and we needed, desperately needed prayer, and Brother Sam would say, well, let's have prayer before we pray. And by the time he got through praying, you knew it was coming. Yes. There was something about the experience that he had. But Brother Salmon's died several years ago, and if we're going to depend on him, no. As Elisha said, where is the God of Elijah? Well, Elijah's gone, but where is the God of Elisha? That's the experience that I want to promote today, an experience that salvation has come. That we have the experience of salvation, not just a religion above religions, not that I can come in and perform my religious, listen, you should perform your religious duties. But to just end up being someone that is faithful to go to the church when it's open, I'm faithful to do these certain ritual things. I mean, I dress the way I should, which is my religion. I do all these things that I do. Folks, that ain't good enough.
That's right.
That ain't even what it's all about. Honestly, that's not all about. I have a chapel down here that everybody can see and know there's a bunch of people over there that's religious. The whole world's religious. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I really believe that all humanity is religious. It's just packaged different. There's people that say, well, I'm an atheist. I don't have religion. You ever see, what that people believe? Oh, it's religious as it can be. I mean, there's people that say, I don't believe in God, and transgender. You ever see what all those people believe? It's as religious as it can be.
Right.
But there is an ounce of salvation found
right.
in it.
Right.
So I want to start with a scripture in Matthew, the 13th chapter. In the 33rd verse. Just the 33rd verse. It's kind of isolated. That's the whole subject right there. And another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now I just want to put an add a little side note here to this. When you're looking at these parables that Jesus spoke, it's good to ask yourself the question, because many times I'll try to quote this and I'll say, the kingdom of heaven is like a woman that puts, well, it's like the meal. No, you ask yourself this question to get the right answer. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. So in all these parables, you ask yourself what the kingdom is like. So you get it in the right place. This parable says that the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Well, that leaven is used in the scriptures many times for the defiling elements that it has. And it's used for sin and different things that it was done. But in this particular place, he uses the analogy that the kingdom of God is leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. It's got the functioning of leaven. And so here's the idea. You have meal.
Yeah.
Right? And there's an ingredient put into it. Right?
Yeah.
And so here's the idea. You can put water in the meal. And it just gets wet.
Yeah.
That's religion.
Right.
It will only wet what it touches too. If you got water and you put a little bit of water in it and it's only so much water, it'll soak into what it's in, and that's as far as it goes. There's no other active ingredient in it. That's all that it does. But once you put that in there and then you put the leaven in, you can put just a wee little bit of leaven in there.
Yes. Yes.
The kingdom of heaven is like this.
Yes. Right.
You can put a little bit of leaven in there, and what's it going to do? It's going to start expanding. It's going to grow.
Yeah.
It's going to go everything. And the intention of this scripture is to say, I know that it can be taken as Jesus coming into the world and that he is supposed to permeate the whole world. Sure, that's logical. But I think that there's also a good idea in here about salvation to us. What we get. There's a pinch. We come, what do we know? What do we know when we come? When we first come, what do we know? What do we know how to do? No, we don't already know anything. We don't know how to perform. We don't know these things. And the Lord comes and He deals with and He puts a pinch in. It's like leaven, and you get that start. I get forgiveness, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I know some things, but I mean, boy, I can remember back those ignorant days. You know, when I first got saved, Lord help me. I first got saved. I wanted to serve the Lord.
Yes.
But what does that mean? I mean, I know I was lost.
Yes.
And I know the Lord done something for me.
Yes.
So I remember the day after I really felt, it took me a few days, I got saved, and so I walk in one day, and I was thirsty, and I opened the refrigerator, and there was some of the big bottles of Pepsi in there. And I started to get a Pepsi, and I was like, I don't know if that's right or not. I didn't drink no Pepsi. I don't know. Well, I know water's okay, so I drank some water. It wasn't long after that I went in, and I used to have my hair parted down the middle. It's kind of the style back in the day. And I went and looked at myself in the mirror and said, that ain't godly. I knew what I wanted, but I don't know. What am I supposed to, how am I supposed to respond to the, I don't know. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Religion ain't like leaven. Religion is the following of a certain orders and things, and that's all that you get. You come in and somebody says to you, this is what you're supposed to do. Do you know, I know there's standards. I know there's things that the Lord wants us to do, and God says that to us. But you know, I found it impossible for me to believe that somebody's advantaged by me browbeating them until they do it. I just reject the whole notion that we've got to strong arm somebody into this. I totally reject all of that, because I see no advantage to the person at all that gets it. You could be stronger than somebody or force somebody through religion to do something, but that's not what salvation does. Salvation changes a heart in there and gives you something in there. I mean, I've leveled out about what I eat and what I allow and all that. And to be honest with you, I kind of do my hair. I don't feel guilty about none of that thing. You know what I'm saying? Salvation is different than that. Salvation is a freedom. Salvation is something that works in our heart. We have something in our heart. That's what we're promoting to everybody. I want to tell this story. I think it's all right if I tell it. Sister Shana up home. I think this is okay. Sister Shana. Sister Shana came into service last time I was up there, kind of at the end of service. I mean, really at the end of service. She like really late. And she come in, and after service, I went back to her, and she kind of was sheepish. You shouldn't be sheepish at me. I ain't nobody. But she was kind of like, oh, and I said, a little late there, wasn't you? She said, oh, Brother Marty. She said, things got out of hand, and said these people had come that normally leave on Saturday night, but they decided to stay the night. And these people were needy people. I mean, you know, they needed. And so they stayed the night, and the next morning some things happened, and they was dealing with these people, some things with these people, and all of a sudden time had got away. And then right there at last, the guy looks at them and said, oh, I'm sorry, I kept you out of service. Well, it's all right. And she come to the end of service, and I said, Sister Shana, you was doing what we come here to learn how to do. Don't feel bad about that. That's what we want you to do. I'd be disappointed if you didn't do it. That's what we want salvation to work. I want salvation to work. Yes, service is important. As a religious function, it's important to get encouragement. I mean, we know what God set it up for, that we can come together, and we can hear from the Word, and we can sing together, and we can be encouraged and all those kind of things. One of the things we learn to get strength from and to do is to deal with people. Deal with people. You are doing what we come to preach about. Thank you, Shana, for doing it. I said, thank you for doing it. I'm glad that you did it. That's the right way to do it, because there's something different in there. So the kingdom of heaven is like leaven.
Yes.
And leaven is the lie. The wetness is only like religion. It will only go as far as it touches it. But this salvation that we got grows. And what does it say? It says that it hid it in three measures of meal till the whole was leaven. Now, folks, listen. This is what salvation does versus religion. Religion will come and give you certain particular things to do. But it can't go beyond it. But salvation is to a heart matter to where it takes care of everything in there. It takes everything. And now you're faced with something. And you know what? I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of people going to try to take a pinch of this. There's a lot of circumstances that are going to come in and pinch a piece of this off to see whether, you know what's put in there? In essence, the Lord Jesus is put in there. The very character and heart of God is put in there. And there are going to be circumstances to where that's going to be challenged to say, what is at the full extent of that? There was a man I worked with years and years ago. And I was saved through the time that I met him, and he wasn't. And the time, and I remember the first time he was almost giddy to tell me that when I seen him, I'd see him every few weeks or something, and he saw me and he was almost giddy to say, Marty, I got saved. I remember the conversation. Well, thank the Lord. He would say, I want to tell you, that was one fired up man. He was fired up about living for the Lord. He started, I mean, he had zeal. This man had zeal. He loved the Lord. I enjoyed being with the guy. And then as the time went on a little bit, he remember having a conversation with him, and he had some kind of a business mix up, and there was a problem there, and we was talking about that, and I was assuming salvation. I wanted to see some loving. I wanted to see the lump there. You know what I'm saying? I want to see some Christ here in this. It should have went to the whole place. And he said, I told him, listen, I don't mix my religion and my business. You know what that sounds like? I mean, you don't mix your religion and your... Sound to me like that's pretty shrewd. It sounds to me like that's you just about do anything over here.
Right.
Folks, this is the definition of religion.
Right.
I'm religious. I go to service. I do the choir. I'm an elder now. I do all this stuff. But I don't mix my business. Can salvation work? See, he was pinched. There was somebody pinching, going to get a pinch off of him. And they're going to get a piece of that. And what they should have got was what was put in there.
Right.
They should have got a big old handful of the love of God. Right. They should have got a big old handful of purity. They should have got a big old handful of mercy. They should have got some Jesus there when they pulled that off. Yeah, it pulls hard sometimes and it hurts sometimes. But that's what salvation does. Salvation goes beyond the religious tenets. And can you imagine having a relationship like that with the Lord? Where you're going to exclude... I would say I would need the Lord more in the business. Lord, please, involve yourself in my business. Help me to do the right thing in my business. I can't subject it off. You know, we put it off into different places. You know, you got this here and categories. We got categories. I want the Lord in this category because I'm hungry. I need the Lord here. My financial, I need the Lord here and here. But here, I'm gonna put that off in a category. That's religion. That's just having religion. Because salvation, you can't do that in salvation. Salvation is where my heart longs for the Lord.
Yes.
To be in, I wouldn't go any place that the Lord can't go. Or I wouldn't go into, I need the Lord to help me in this. This is the essence of what true salvation really is. Yes. So the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. I worked with a guy one time that was very religious. He was the youth director at the church. He was an elder at the church and a teacher. And we had a young man that started working for us by the name of Tracy, if I remember right. And this young man, Tracy, was a troubled young man a lot of times. He had a young wife and family. And I would talk to him quite a bit about the things of the Lord, but I was never pushing on him, just would tell him things of the Lord. So one day he comes to me and he says, "Marty, I would like to get your advice about something." "All right, if I help you, if I can." He said, "Well, Pat," this is the other guy, "he's been on me hard to go to church with him." And he said, I told him, "Pat, I'm not ready for something like that." And he said, Pat told him, he said, "What do you mean ready for something like that?" He said, "What do you think? I go around thinking about the Lord all the time or put God in everything? What do you think this is all about? I mean, I've just had to come to church and be a part. What do you think I do?" And he said, and this was Tracy, just this old sinner boy. He said, "I just don't think that's right." Well, it's hard to speak against one of the guys you work for. Yeah, I mean, what am I supposed to say? But I mean, I about had to say, I mean, I did say, "I don't think he's right either." I mean, honestly, I appreciate your honesty to say, I know I have these needs, but I'm not ready for that kind of a, because there's going to be a change. Yeah. I mean, salvation is going to work a change in my life. If I give to the Lord, man, I mean, what I've been doing, there's going to be a change. And I'm going to have to deal with the people around me because there's a change in this. Yeah. Some time ago, I was talking with these folks over in Bangladesh, and I got a kick out. It seemed like they was very sweet people, and they messaged me one day and said they had a problem. The problem was the first message was that these 3 individuals that were Muslims had come to the faith, and they had come and gotten saved, and they were so rejoicing that these 3 young people had come to the Lord. And so they was all excited about it and all. And so they wanted to baptize them. And so they taught them about baptism and said, "You need to be baptized." And so, well, that's good. And baptize them. And so then I get this distressing message. Oh, this is things are bad. And I say, "Well, what's going on? Why are you so upset? God's still on his throne. God's still on his throne. What are you upset about? God's still on his throne." He said, "We set this baptism up and then they wouldn't be baptized." Right? And I said, "Okay, I want to ask you again. Why are you so upset?" "Well, yeah, but they wouldn't be baptized." And I said, "Okay, they wouldn't be baptized. Why are you so upset?"
Right.
"Well, I mean," I said, "God do what he's shown."
Yes.
"Well, I just don't understand. They need to be baptized." And I said, "Amen." Right? They need to be baptized. I said, "What keeps them from being baptized?" "Oh, brother, you know what it's like over here. I mean, their family's Muslim. I mean, the community around, I mean, this is a big deal to be baptized like this." And I said, "Exactly." I said, "I'll give you this advice. You work with them until they have the same heart for the Lord that you and I have. And then they want to be baptized.
Yeah.
Why browbeat them? Why try to make them? That's religion. You can religious them all the day. You can't change a heart in there."
Right.
You know what happened? A week or so later, they come on to be baptized.
Amen.
They got baptized there. Against all that pressure, they got baptized because all of a sudden it's worth it to me to keep my salvation.
Yeah.
This salvation is something that's important and it works. And I want that. I want that salvation.
Yes.
Over in I want to see the story in Well, let's get Nicodemus first. That's John 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, that passage makes me to know that Nicodemus had something honest in him.
Yeah. Right.
Because the way we want to try to set up our lives is that I can debate it and on all this. And he came to the Lord and dropped all arguments.
Yeah.
Serious arguments. Because what can you say after you say you're of God? I mean, your argument's gone. You say, well, I don't believe you. You don't believe God? I mean, he erased his own arguments. That was an honest place in him. We know.
Yeah.
I mean, I accept that you're from God because nobody can do this except you accept that. That's an awfully honest place for Nicodemus to come.
Yeah.
So he says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Nicodemus is quite a religious fella, no doubt.
Yes.
I mean, in all the things, he was probably in good standing. I think that all says that. He's in good standing. He probably kept the orders and the rituals. He probably was kosher. He probably didn't do the things that he shouldn't have done within the religion. He's a religious man. But what good was it doing him? I mean, honestly, how much good was it doing him? Yeah, there's some valuable things there, but what good was it doing him? Here comes a man that knew inside him, there's something lacking in me. There's something wrong here. There's something more than this. I'm not satisfied. And he was in a pull between two worlds.
Yeah.
One world, he didn't want the peer pressure was getting him. He didn't want them to know that he went to the Jesus. He snuck there in the night. He couldn't do it openly and all of these things. And yet something was honest down in there and was pulling to him. I need something. Well, I tell you, salvation's that way. Salvation's that way. Religion doesn't do that. And I mean, there's groups and people that can come up with and put us to shame with their shouting and praising God and all of those kind of things. I am not impressed. I want to tell you right now, I'm not impressed. I want to know what you're doing when you walk out the door. That's what I want to know how you're living and what you're doing.
Yes.
That's what I want to know.
Yes.
Because you know, seriously, and we'll get to it in a little bit, true worship, if you really get down to true worship, is mimicking Christ.
Amen.
Big posters of people. People put it up. Michael Jordan, Eric Jordan, poster. Man, we'll be like him. I'll be like him. Man, he can do it. Right?
Yeah.
That's an adoration. It's a worship.
Yeah.
Lifting him up. He's great. He's good. Those kind of things. The most sincere part of worship is the adoration to be like him. The idea that I want to be like Christ.
Amen.
That's it.
Yes.
Nicodemus had something that wasn't like that. There was something different in there. You remember the young man that comes to the Lord,
right,
and said, good master, what must I do?
Yes.
He tells him, keep the commandments. All those commandments, I'm going to tell you, the commandments didn't do it, did it?
No.
Oh, he come all an empty. Well, I've done that. Well, what are you here for then? Okay, Jesus is working with this man. He's working with him. I've kept that since, well, one thing you lack. You eat up with us. You're worshiping money. You're worshiping your riches. You're worshiping those things. Go get rid of them. He said he went away sorrowful, for he had a lot of... What was he? He was struggling and striving there with that. Salvation works, folks.
Yes.
So he says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? See, there's confusion in there. You know what? This wasn't always Nicodemus' story. Thank the Lord.
Yes.
This wasn't always his story. He didn't always sneak around at night. There was more to Nicodemus than this. But Nicodemus is in this struggling and in this place. And Nicodemus, this is what you need. You're religious as you can be. You're totally religious with all of these things. You need to be born again.
Amen.
You need to have that leaven put into your heart. You need to be of that. And then it's going to grow. And then it's going to grow. And Lord help us. Because this is really going to come out somewhere when somebody goes and pitches the exterior somewhere. When it gets a good hold of it, then how do you really react to that? This said it went all the way. It goes to every furthest extent of that. That means that, what is that scripture that says, if any man seemeth religious and bridleth not his tongue, his religion, not his salvation, folks, his religion is vain. It's empty. You don't have anything that's working. If your religion doesn't control your tongue, it ain't no good. Get rid of that and get something that controls your tongues, your attitudes, your thoughts, your ways. Until it can grow to the furthest extent of your life, and you can be sweet in the middle of the bed. So there was these ones that proved it. Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, preaches to these Jews. He lays it on them too. I mean, the truth's the truth sometimes, and he laid the truth down to them, made them so angry that they was gritting their teeth tonight, and they began to stone him, and they began to pull out chunks of him to see what he was made of. And what did he say? Father, lay this not to their charge. He loved them with the stones flying. He didn't throw the stones back. He didn't do those things. I'm going to tell you, the leaven had already got to the furthest extents. It had got everywhere. And every time when somebody grabbed a piece of it, they got a piece of Jesus.
Amen.
Remember a man telling me one time, he was a devout man, very devout man. Sunday school teacher, high up in the church. Whatever you say, hierarchy or whatever you say, he was up there, right? I remember him telling me, he said, you know, he said, somebody, and I think I know who it is, somebody is coming down here at night and stealing gas out of my car. They're siphoning it out, and I think I know who it is. And he said, last night, he said he didn't come, but last night I sat out there with my shotgun. And if he had come last night, he'd have got more than gasoline. My mind immediately went to the Sermon on the Mount. And if a man take thy coat, give him also thy cloak.
Yes.
If he compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain.
Yes.
If he steals your gas, shoot him. No, I don't say that. You get the point. The point is that salvation is supposed to go to that point too.
Yes.
Salvation is supposed to be there when you get pulled on. It's supposed to go all the way. Nicodemus was being told, Nicodemus, you got something here that ain't growing through you. You're just doing the order, and it's as far as it goes. It's not going to go any further in your heart to make you more like God. It's not going to do anything. You need more than that.
Yes.
You need more than that. So it'll go to the whole realms. And so now when somebody does, I remember thinking this, and I don't know myself all the times. And folks, I can see myself as a failure a lot of times, but this was the idea that I had. If I knew the young man that stole my gas, I thought I'd go get me a jug of gas, and I'd take a jug of gas to the young man, and I'd go up and knock on the door and say, here's some gas. I'm going to give you this gas, but I want you to know, stealing ain't right. It's not right for you to do that, and you're in danger. And I would give you that lesson. I ain't saying I would fund his habits for the rest of his life, but there is still an idea of touching somebody here. And not only that's what it is to me. Am I really going to hate somebody to kill him over a can of gas? Really? He was very religious, folks. He knew scripture. He sung songs. And that's all that it done for him. Now listen, I ain't preaching to those guys. I ain't preaching to them. I preach it to us.
Yes.
Salvation.
Yes.
We can't afford to just be religious.
Amen.
We've got to have salvation working in our lives. And there's measures of that sometime. Nicodemus, he said, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master in Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye have received our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe me not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, probably John 3:16 is probably, unarguably, the most famous and most quoted passage of Scripture in the Bible.
Yes, right.
For God so loved the world. I mean, that is the essence,
yes,
right, of the story. Now, I may take a little liberty here, but give me the liberty. Jesus spake like no other man spake. Jesus spoke with a certain amount of authority in him that people recognize the power of his voice, the authority. I know what that's like to a very small degree to be under the anointing and have that happen or the times that you just have a command in your voice to your children or something where there is a noticeable command. Yeah. Jesus was way far above that.
Yeah.
And there was an authority that Jesus in his words and things that he did that was a powerful. It was a powerful thing. And so Jesus now speaking to Nicodemus, I like to think at this point Jesus looks right in the eyes of Nicodemus and says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that scripture to us is important.
Yeah.
But can you imagine the penetrating eyes of Christ and the authority and command of his voice saying that to you? Here's the man that snuck there in the night. This surpassed religion.
Yes.
Way surpassed. This was the leaven that he had injected into Nicodemus that was going to be the ultimate change of his whole life.
Yes.
I'm afraid that my Sanhedrin brethren are going to reject me, or that there come a time that he didn't care who done what or where. Jesus looked right into my eyes. There was something more powerful than anybody else can do. Something that's real.
Yeah.
You can't take that from Nicodemus any more than you can take sight from the blind man. You can't take away the experience.
Right.
I'm talking about an experience that goes beyond religion. I'm going to tell you what experience beyond religion is. We don't just go by an order of things. There's times that the Lord may come to you and say, I don't want you doing that. And you might not find one standard in the church of God that explains it or says anything about it.
Yes.
But it's the Lord dealing you with your heart.
Yes.
There's something personal and individual about this, and you're more than willing to do it because you love the Lord.
Yes.
Because the leaven's working.
Yes.
And that's salvation.
Yes.
Not just the religious tenets, not just the religious ideas that people have. I think Nicodemus got a really good dose there, because if you remember, Nicodemus was one of the ones that went and got Jesus' body. Sound like he wasn't sneaking around in the dark now.
Yes.
I think the history of Nicodemus was good too.
Yes.
I think he went on to be a faithful man.
Yes.
Over in John 4, next chapter. You remember... Oh, maybe we'll just get some of the setting of this. Jesus in the fourth verse was said, and he must needs go through Samaria. He went to Samaria, and there come a woman to Samaria to draw the water. You remember Jesus went to the well, and the Samaritan woman goes to the well.
Yes.
And I believe this is the account that she come to do that, and Jesus talked about the living water, and it got her attention. Not only did it get her attention from that, but Jesus was also a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman. Man-woman wasn't exactly the thing, and Jew to Samaritan wasn't the thing. So this was an out-of-order, this was an out-of-order idea. It didn't fit any of the packages of religion. Of the non-set religion of the day, he blew it away. He blew it away. This has nothing to do with the religious aspects now either. This woman come and Jesus started referring and saying, if you knew who asked you this, you'd ask for living water. I'll give you something else. She don't understand this conversation yet at all.
Right.
She's not going to know this at all. But it goes on and you know, call your husband and says, well, I don't have a husband. You said that right. Because you've had five. And now the one you're with ain't your husband.
Right.
And, I mean, he starts revealing some things to her. Now, I don't think the scripture tells everything, because I think there had to be more to this conversation that wasn't told in the passage, because when she went and told the guys down there, she said, he told me everything I ever done. I mean, he told me the whole, Jesus said, was saying who he was right here to her, this woman.
Yeah.
And she has a question. The woman said in 19th verse, saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say, that was the Jews, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth.
Yeah.
For the Father seeketh such to worship him.
Yeah.
God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And I want to say something about salvation. Salvation doesn't end when you walk out the door.
Amen.
It doesn't end when you wake up in the middle of the night.
Amen.
It doesn't end when you're at the mall by yourself, or out in the field by yourself, or it's in an unknown place. Salvation doesn't end in any of these places.
Amen.
Salvation is there all the time. And God seeks such that worships him. And again, the true spirit of worship, the true idea of worship, the adoration, the respect, the honor of the one that I want to be like.
Amen.
I want to be like Christ.
Yes.
There was a story told of Brother Dan Gellenbeck. He's gone now. I can freely tell this. I'd have told it anyway, but he's gone now. But there was a story about him. They did wood fixtures. Wood Design, I think, was the company. And they did fixtures for some of the stores. Mardell's, all different ones. Tommy Hilfiger, I don't know. Some of the upgrade stores. They did the store fixtures. And they would install it in the store. Once the store was put up, they'd put them in and all this thing. Big deal. Very quality work. Very expensive work. A lot of money put into it. A lot of labor put into it. And they would ship these things in trucks, big trucks, you know, 18-wheelers. They'd fill up and they would ship them to the different places. They'd make them different places. Well, anyway, they had done a store worth of fixtures and all this stuff and counters and all that. And they put them on a semi, and they went, and they was all waiting at the store for the truck to truck pulled in. They opened the doors and the load shifted. Now, on a highway, when wood stuff shifts and it lets loose, it don't take it long to eat each other. It eat it up. It just, I mean, it worked in there and moved, and it rubbed this and rubbed that and this and all this really nice quality stuff. Thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of fixtures and stuff that's supposed to be installed to be in or waiting there. And then the store is ruined. So the guy that saw that, seen it, and Brother Dan was there, but he didn't see it. And they walked and they saw this, The load shifted. And the guy's testimony was is that, oh. Now, this Dan fella is always testified a high testimony of God, of the grace of God, right? He's always been of a certain level of character and a certain idea, and he's always presented the things of the Lord.
Yes.
And the guy said, oh boy, I'm going to see how he acts now. Because this is a major deal. This is a big deal, you know.
Yes.
And so they told him, and he comes and looks at it. And he said something, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was kind of a, well, praise the Lord, anyhow moment, I guess we'll have to build them things again. See, the leaven had already got there.
Praise
the Lord. The leaven had already got to the furthest extent of his business. Lord, have your way in our life. You know how to lead our life. Lead our life, and if you allow this, Lord, then let me be a faithful servant in this time. You know, do you know salvation can go there?
Yes.
You know salvation can go to calm our tempers? Do you know that the salvation can go all the way into the furthest extents of our life until we behave ourselves in the right way that we... I'm preaching to myself now.
Yes.
I know how frustrations work and quickness. I know how that works, and
yes,
you get all this stuff. I'm just going to say this. There's times that you got to say, I'm sorry, I didn't do that right.
That's right.
There's times it says that leaven got there.
Yeah.
I did. And why? Because of perpetual worship of Christ.
Yeah.
And the perpetual worship is when that happens, you say, that's not what I want to be.
Right.
That's what I want to be.
Amen.
I want to be like the Lord when he hung there on the cross and said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. That's what I'm worshiping. That's what I want to be like. See, that's what the whole idea was. Where are you going to worship? Said, where are we going to worship? At Jerusalem or on the mountain? You going to do it in here? Yeah, folks, we collectively come in here to worship. This is not all the worship.
Amen.
Going and having a big party with drums and a big deal and doing all that. Listen, I'm not critical of people that want to praise the Lord in that way. Go that way too, but you can't walk out of here not wanting to be like Jesus and say that matters. You can't walk out of here and want to shoot your brother or want to harm somebody. You can't do that. Because Jesus didn't do that.
Amen.
I don't want that. That's worshiping. That's lifting God up for who God is.
Yeah.
So this, you know the story of this woman. She asked this very serious question. And Jesus tells her, the hour cometh. He wants to be worshipped in spirit and truth because God is a spirit.
Yes.
And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
So Lord, help us today. There's a passage of scripture. It's slipping me where it's at, but there is a passage of scripture that says something about if you run with the footmen and they weary thee, what are you going to do with the horsemen? Now that's it also goes on and says that if you, something about the flooding of the Jordan. If you're challenged, what are you going to do when the Jordan floods?
Right.
So here's the idea. I'm a man. I should be able to run with men. I'm a man, so I should be able to run with men. But if I allow my condition to get down to the point that running with men worries me, there's things that you can't do. I'm going to tell you, the limitations of your life, trying to be a godly person, you're going to flat fail.
Right.
There's going to be limitations to everybody in here in the flesh to try to do right. That scripture is referring to something that is so important. And that is the connection that we have with Christ. And the fact that we've got the leaven put in. That is so much because I can do the things, I can do weary with things that men can do. This is things that you should be able to do. This is something that's just natural to do. And that wearies you? What are you going to do when the real hard thing comes? What are you going to do when the sword comes? What are you going to come and do when I can wrestle with one man, but what about when five of them get a hold of me? What am I going to do with the things that are too big for me? I'll say it this way. I understand why the man said about the shotgun. In the natural sense, I know what the guy was talking about, protecting what was his and doing all. I understand that. Totally understand that. And his response to it, I can understand. I can relate to it to some degree. But I'll say this about it. It's going to take something more than that. Because that's when the horsemen come. And what are you going to, how are you going to contend with the horses? When it comes down to forgiving people that hurt you deeply.
Yes.
Now what are you going to do?
Amen.
This, I'm going to tell you, eternity might hinge on it. What you do.
That's right.
It's called the grace of God.
Yes.
That bringeth salvation. Has appeared to all men. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly. Where? Next world, right, Brother Henry? Next world. No, next world. That's where you can't live right here. What are you saying? Now? Right here in this world. Now?
Yes.
Now. That's what it's for now. Because these things are going to come and challenge us. And then what we're going to need something.
That's right.
Something more that religion doesn't do for you.
That's right.
This don't do it for you. That ain't nothing wrong. I'm just saying it don't. If that's all it is, it don't do it.
Right. Amen.
There's something that does it though. The grace of God.
Yes.
That leaven that's put into our life. That salvation that's put in there. Lord, help me. As I'm on the journey of life, and I know there's a place for everybody to grow, and there's places to where you say, well, I didn't do that well. You know, God's gracious and good. Thank God.
Amen.
Thank God we have an advocate.
Amen.
Thank God that we can say, I've had some work and I got. Yes, my son. Yeah, come on. I'll teach you better. Thank God for that.
Amen.
But we're going to have something in there.
That's right.
It says, I want to be like Jesus. I want to do the things that Jesus wants me to do. I want to live for the Lord. I don't know how to say this exactly because the Bible does refer to religion in a sense. You know, the scripture that says that pure religion undefiled before God the Father is this.
Right.
You know, you visit the orphan, widows and orphans. And there's, a religion that, but for the most part, I kind of disdain religion, to be honest with you. Religion can cause a lot of problems.
Yes.
Unnecessary problems.
Yes.
I don't disdain salvation.
Amen.
Salvation makes a good neighborhood.
That's right.
Salvation makes a good home.
Yes.
A good family. Salvation makes a good congregation.
Amen.
Salvation makes a good... I want to tell you, salvation makes that... But religion kind of stir up stuff.
Yes.
But salvation's here, though, folks.
Yeah.
The world can send its hornets. I mean, it can send its wires and branches and all these things. But salvation is what we need.
Amen.
We need salvation working in our heart.
Yes.
And doing the things that we need to do inside because we're going to be challenged. And I really think when you read the fifth chapter of Matthew, and when it starts talking about things like if somebody smites thee on the cheek. Now, come on. Come on. If somebody smites you on the cheek, turn to him also the other. You better have salvation.
That's right.
I have a lot of stories. But I remember the guy that got, he got saved. I mean, there was no doubt about it in my mind. He was one of the hardest men that I ever knew in our community. He was older. He was my dad's age. He was a hard man. And I went down to his house. And I mean, he was a hard man. He'd fist fight you in a minute. I mean, I had a lot of fights. I mean, I went down to see him one day, and he told me, he said, I wasn't saved at the time, so he said, Marty, I got saved. Well, what did I say to that? You know, I got saved. And he started telling me how what happened. There was some guys come, and he had a little gate around his place, and the guys come and said, can we talk to you a minute? And he was a fighter. He said, you guys get out of here before I throw you out of here. And they turned around to go, and he said, wait a minute. See, the Lord dealt with it.
Yeah.
He said, wait a minute. Come and tell me what you're going to tell me. And they come and told him, Jesus loves you and died for you, and you got a chance to be saved. They told him. You know, he ended up getting down there. And when I went down to visit him, he got this little violet out of his yard, this little flower. And there was a tear running down his face. And he said, you ever see how God made these little things? This is a man fist bites you. You know what? I didn't know much. But I went away saying,
That guy got something
there. But I want to tell you, it wasn't supposed to end there. Understand what I'm saying? Leaven can be, I'm going to get through. Leaven can be hindered. It needs a certain environment to grow. It won't grow in every environment. Too cold will ruin it.
Yes.
You bake it and it's done. There's things that will limit it. We need a free heart for go everywhere, Lord. Go all the way. And there were some years after that, he ended up finding a congregation. He went to church. He done all those things. And do you know what ended up happening? He's long gone now. But you know what ended up happening? The same old grumpy guy that used to sit on the porch and complain about everybody that went up and down the road, the guy that would throw a fist as fast as anybody in the country, in a few years, there was a grumpy old man sitting on the porch that would complain about everybody that went up and down the road, that would throw a fist in as fast as he could, and he went to church all the time. The only ended up difference at the end was a man that was religious versus the one that wasn't.
Right.
Lord, help us.
Yes.
Because that wasn't what the Lord wanted. That man that saw that flower.
Right.
He wanted to expand that to the furthest reaches of his life.
Yes.
That no matter where you got a bit of him, you got a little bit of Jesus.
Amen.
You got some Jesus out there when you did. And that's what's going to make the difference at the end of it, is that we have salvation. I thank God today for salvation. You pray for us.